This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Oh my God. This is why we call it Effing Friday. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We want you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right, listen. I'm 6'6". I don't know what a center could even think like, be like, whatever, at the NBA level. But let's bring in somebody that actually knows the positions.
So we phoned a friend? We phoned a friend to help me out?
We phoned a friend to help you out with this crazy hot take of yours.
Yeah.
Eton Thomas, back on the show with us right now. Of course, 9 years in the NBA, over 400 games played. He played plenty of playoff games as well. BasketballNews.com writer these days. Eton, how we doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How y'all doing?
All right. Did you happen to hear the beginning there when we came back from the break and hear what Bart Scott had to say?
I did.
Your thoughts?
Well, you know, I mean, you know, Embiid has been great this year. I got to be honest with you. I mean, you know, I don't know where they would be without Embiid. The most dominant big man ever. It's kind of hard to, you know, give those kind of titles to. You know, of course you have Kareem. Of course you have Hakeem Olajuwon. You know, I don't really like to compare, you know, other eras sometimes, but I think he's been phenomenal. I think if, you know, if there's, you know, anybody who is one of the top candidates of the MVP race, I think he's definitely at the top.
Is Embiid like Shaq and Olajuwon had a baby?
Well, I mean, you know, he's been great. I mean, honestly, Embiid has been who we all knew that he could be if he was healthy and in shape. And this year, he really proved a lot of people wrong. Because remember, from his beginning career, people were kind of ready to write him off. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't healthy, and he was still looking great, but he just wasn't looking, to the possibility of what he could look.
Yeah,
but now we've seen a glimpse of that, and it looks phenomenal. So, knock on wood, he stays healthy. We don't know what he's going to end up as, but he's looking good, I'll tell you that.
All right, so he's at that place that and you're right. I mean, he MVP caliber season, led the league in scoring. Like, he's done it this year to that reaching your potential kind of place. And now when you do that in the NBA, as you know, Eton, what happens now is, okay, got to win a championship with this guy. When you are a franchise and you have a player like him, a franchise player like him, all that's on your mind now is we've got to try to get a chip while he's in his prime. And I feel like this is now a couple of years the Sixers have been at that place where it's, let's try this, this didn't work. Let's try this, this didn't work. How about this? And this year with James Harden doesn't feel like it's really working. And this is getting to, you know, 1990s Patrick Ewing and the Knicks just every year trying it and every year falling short. Like, is the James Harden, Joel Embiid duo one that you can foresee being that duo, that second player that Embiid needs to win a championship, or do they have to try something else?
I mean, it's kind of tough to say, you know, a lot has to fall into place. I mean, we haven't really seen them even, you know, play a long length of time together yet. You know, and sometimes it takes a little while to see if you can really blend and mesh with each other. You know, so that's kind of hard to say. I don't even know how you can even answer that question right now. But I do know that, you know, he's looking to come back to and I don't know if that's the best decision, to be honest with you. I kind of questioned it. I would like to see where y'all are on about this. What do you think as far as him coming back? I mean, he has a broken face and a broken thumb. I don't know if it's gonna be, you know, yes, 60%, 50% of Embiid is better than a lot of people, but I kind of question it myself. I do.
Well,
I didn't realize you'd go there. Now, let me just update everybody because this just came out. Joel Embiid now, as you know, he did go through the shoot-around. We told you that at the beginning of this show. Went through the shoot-around this morning. He was cleared from concussion protocol, but he was still listed as out. Now, the update is he's been upgraded to doubtful. Now, it still doesn't mean he's going to play, but the fact that they went from out to doubtful is upgrading his availability. And as Eton Thomas just told us here, he questions the idea of him trying to play in this game tonight, Bar. What do you think?
Well, I don't, because I think it's what he has to do. Because what leaders do is do what people won't do, and then that emboldens them to have to step their game up, right? Like, you know, he has to show, if he's uncoordinated leader, that he's willing to put himself through stuff that isn't in the best interest of himself, but in the best interest of the team, right? We criticize Ben Simmons for not having mental toughness, and this is going to be Joel Embiid having mental and physical toughness and doing what's best for the team, because he knows just merely his presence, like when Willis Reed came out, he didn't have a great game. He hit two shots and that was it, but it was about inspiring and opening things up for everybody else. Just a threat, almost like Terrell Davis in the Super Bowl when he had the migraines and he couldn't see, and Shanahan said, man, just go out there, because just your presence is going to affect the defense and open things up. And he did that. This is stuff that legends are made of. Now, it's not about whether they win the game or even if he finishes the game, but just the fact that he tried to give them a body, or tried to give him whatever he had in a pivotal game three, will also continue to endear him in the fans and the hearts of Philadelphia, which is what he's fighting for.
Respectfully, I have to disagree.
Damn it!
To be honest with you, I do. I think this is an age where, you know, fan appreciation, that they want athletes to be able to put their bodies on the line and their careers on the line and everything like that for the love of the game. I just can't really buy into that. You know, I'm here in Washington, and I saw RG3 do that, and it ruined his entire career. And then you saw everybody not want to take responsibility for it and say, well, I didn't say that he could play. Well, and then the coach says, well, I didn't tell him he could play. And that's what happens afterwards. I've just seen that.
Did we lose E-Tizzle? But E-Tizzle.
The line and risk it all. I can't roll with that. I just can't.
But E-Tizzle, this is different. RG3 had a knee injury. This is a facial fracture. This isn't going to stop his ability to play
and
basketball in the future. I mean, come on. We all had concussions. Soccer players get concussions.
By the way, he also has a fractured thumb that's going to need surgery.
Understand that. But thumb, these aren't injuries like herniate disc. This isn't anything like knee, ACL, right? This is different, right, Eton? Like, this is something about, like, okay, can I have my bearings together, right? Is when I start running and the blood start flowing, am I going to get nauseous? Am I going to have depth perception? It's that type of stuff, right? This, I would say him coming back from this is almost like Scottie Pippen playing with the migraines or Jordan in a flu game. This is more about how you feel. I don't think this has anything to do with his long-term ability to play the game of basketball.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you have a disc. You have a fractured thumb. He has to have surgery on it. You hit it more, it gets worse. I mean, if you get it to a certain point. I mean, and I'm not a doctor, but I know a lot of times, you know, a fractured or broken something has the potential to be able to get worse. You can't really play without a thumb, you know. So
he got 10 fingers, Eton. He got 10.
Eton, you're also talking to a guy.
Saying, but I don't know.
I played with no ligament in my toe.
Linebacker with 9 toes. So, you know.
I had no ligament. I tore the ligament in my toe. My big toe didn't touch the ground my last year in the NFL.
Hey, listen. I don't think Embiid has to do anything to prove to the Philly fans that he is all in with this team.
And when you've reached that point of the series where they are right now and how things look.
If they lose this one, it's a wrap.
For the future, there's no doubt. Eton Thomas joining us right now. You know, before we let you go, though, and I know we spent some time on the Embiid stuff, but just want to go around the playoffs with you for a couple other things, and that includes the Grizzlies-Warriors series, and we've seen a lot of physicality in the first two games. I feel like, though, this third game is tomorrow night is so pivotal on many levels, but if Golden State is going to maintain what I thought was a championship DNA kind of team that has a chance to get to the finals again, I need to see a player step up. Bart says it's Andrew Wiggins. I say it's Klay Thompson. Who do you say it is?
I think both, a little bit of both. I mean, I think this is playoff times. This is a time when you have to do what you do best. I think it's been a fantastic series already. You know, John Morant has been amazing. You know, it's just been a fun series to watch. But, yeah, you're right. I think that you need to be able to step up. So, I mean, I think it's a collective effort.
When Klay came back, Wiggins' game suffered. They haven't figured out how to coexist. So I think with Klay being a little compromised and not really having a rhythm, I think they should maybe bring Klay off the bench and put Kuminga in so they can get longer and more athletic and try and really put a lot of big bodies on Ja, but also be able to open the floor up for Wiggins so he can do what he did a lot of early in the season when Klay was working himself back with Steph. He was hitting threes. He was an all-star. He was getting to the basket. He was finishing. And he's playing tremendous defense. Bring Klay off when he's going against the secondary bums and let him, you know, get his shots up and get his shots up, you know, and get in the rhythm.
Well, for one, I definitely wouldn't call them secondary bums. But I do think that it is, you know, John Morant is a tough guard for anybody. So you put somebody bigger on them, then he's going to be able to go past them a little bit more. So if they're going to body him, you have to see how he just has a little whole chess match. You know, I love the physical play. Of course, I don't want to see anybody play dirty. But overall, this has been an exciting season to watch.
See, I'm with you, though. I take it very personal when Bart calls them secondary bums because I resemble that remark.
I got a Bart's bum list. It's not that they're actual bums. It's just like, hey, it just sounds cool. Bart's bum list kind of flows off the tongue.
Did you feel, of the flagrant twos, both Draymond, obviously, and also Dylan Brooks, was the Dylan Brooks one the more egregious? Was that the one that you really cringed at, or are they both equally bad?
I think it's just tough because when you're in the air suspended, you know, you're kind of susceptible to type of serious injury. So I think that's what's kind of tough. It was interesting because I was just watching Magic's documentary, and they're showing the Kurt Rambis when he drove, and they kind of clotheslined him. You know, but when you're up in the air, you know, any type of bump, any type of hit or something like that is going to result in, you know, the person awkwardly falling, as we saw. So, you know, it's just kind of tough. Those are tough plays.
Did you agree?
We laughed about this the other day. Remember, Bart, we were talking about that play, the Kurt Rambis one, where we said that I think everybody just got fouls and they just, like, played on. I mean, like, there was no one thrown out after that.
I mean, Parrish hitting Lambeer in the face and busting his nose, they just gave him tissue. And not even it was on a
different
ground
world.
Foul. It wasn't even a shooting
world.
Foul. You know what I mean? But, you know,
I think.
I think it was important that they suspended Brooks, because if they didn't, you talk about a superstar in Ja Morant, who's one of those high flyers who's always off balance in the air. You know, that could have been a retaliation thing, and then they wouldn't have the grounds to suspend that player, and then they just would be able to eject him. So I think it was good that they did that, especially, you know, when we know that they're going to be without Peyton. I think it was the appropriate suspension, because they're going to be without one of their better important players defensively for a month.
All right, Eton, we're going to leave it right there. It was great to catch up with you, though. Thanks so much for the insight and for obviously putting up with our usual hijinks. Thanks so much.
All good. Always great talking to you guys.
All right, all the best. Eton Thomas again, 9 years in the NBA.
He didn't crush me too bad.
Center. He knows it.
He didn't crush me too bad about, you know, my opinion on Joel Embiid.
No, you guys actually disagreed on whether or not he should play, which I found that to be the most interesting point. All right, so coming up, someone else from the NBA wants to take on Bart and his Embiid take. First, I want to remind you, it is Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Bundle and protect today under one roof. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. We turn now, Bart, to the north. Paul Jones, the voice of the Toronto Raptors, he's listening to the show. He heard you say what you said about Joel Embiid being...
Oh, they hate Joel Embiid up there.
If not the most... What did you say again? How would you put it? The most dominant big man to
most
ever play?
Most skilled. Yes.
And when I was throwing names like Shaq and Hakeem, and you're like, no. You were like Dikembe Mutombo. No. Just slapping them left and right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Paul Jones. Jonesy, how we doing? I'll let you take the floor.
I'm good, man. And let me say this. My radio is on ESPN often, usually with my man.
Where you go?
Being late from the charter. But I am a big fan of this show. I am a big fan of this show. I love all the takes on every sport, especially as a kid growing up in Queens. And a long time ago, before his era, but watching my guy Bart Scott put his hat on people and put heads to bed. So I'm all down with what he's saying, although I almost drove off the road. I phoned Mark, my brother, who's going to call the Dallas game. I'm like, it went to voicemail. I'm like, man, you need to know what Bart – I'm like, Mark, listen to this. Bart, my brother, have you ever heard of the dude they call the Kansas Comet? Wilton Norman Chamberlain?
Yeah, he didn't really win a lot either. Like, he was playing against guys that was my height.
Oh, boy.
He didn't win a lot, but when you talk about most dominant, when you talk about the record book, there's the record book, and then there's the Wilt record book. Because whenever somebody does something these days, we get the three magic words that qualify it. since Wilt Chamberlain.
Mm-hmm. Hey, can I, Paulie? I feel like we're best friends now. Can I call you Paulie?
I'm good with that.
Paulie. Listen, I don't want to bust your chops, but let me tell you something, Paulie.
What is this, like, Rocky?
Tell me, name me during the Wilt Chamberlain era. Name me 10 people that were above 6'9".
I know you're not going there.
Name me 9 centers above 6'9".
I know you're not going there with 30 teams in the league when back in the day you had to be something serious to get in the league. Like, he didn't play against a lot of people his size, I agree. But in the words of Barry Switzer when he coached at Oklahoma, wasn't no magic out there, man. They dominated. And he dominated. Like, they said he couldn't pass 1 year because all he did was score. Then next year he led the league in assists.
That's because he had three midgets. I'm sorry, it's little people. I can't say that word anymore. Paulie, that's because he had three people trying, and he just hold, like, you know when you're playing against your little brother and you hold the ball up and he's jumping and he can't even get it?
Come on.
But, Bart, watch him run and jump.
Yes.
Like, okay, I'll tell you this.
He was evolution.
I'm going to give you something. My son is a professional volleyball player in Europe, and he plays beach volleyball. And in the west coast of Canada, they talk about Wilt coming to British Columbia and dominating beach volleyball tournaments. The man was an athlete. He was so skilled at everything. So I'm not taking anything away from Embiid, and unlike all the other fans in Toronto, I am objective enough to know that he would have got my MVP vote if I got one, not just putting up empty calories like some other people around the league. Ooh. But you can take that wherever you want. Mm. I mean, Luka got 42 in the first game, 35 in the second game, and they lost by 20, and he's down 0-2.
And he can't guard.
Numbers are great, but like we brought it back to, Bart, like you said, with Wilt winning. But to me, and I just saw the end of him, Wilt. I was old enough to see an old Wilt block a young Kareem or a Lou Alcindor hook shot when I was a kid playing. So to me, you're going to have to go a long way to find a big man as skilled as Wilt.
Could Wilt shoot threes?
And by the way, I'm giving Shaq some too, because go look at some young Shaq video.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but he couldn't stay away from the ribbon flabbing long enough to be able to be that version of Shaq. You heard Kobe. He's fat, not a shape. Joel Embiid has got his paleo diet. He's got his weight under control. I'm just saying, when it's all said and done and we look backwards, we're going to say that he's one of the most skilled big men ever played.
He's incredibly skilled.
I will give you.
And Jonesy, you've called a couple of series now with the Sixers playing the Raptors, because you're the voice of the Toronto Raptors. So you've seen it up front, and you saw, of course, the heartbreak of that Kawhi shot and what that run was, obviously, for the Raptors all the way to the championship. And, you know, you saw how close Embiid was there. And then you see also that amazing shot against the Raptors in Game 3, which made it 3-0 in that series in this first round. And you see when he's healthy what he can be. And that's what we're all trying to figure out now as we watch him, and we all agree. I think the one thing we all agree upon is what he is right now is special. And he's 28, 29 years old, and if you're the Sixers, you've got to strike while the iron's hot on that special. And I'm wondering if this collection is still the right pieces around him to win a championship. I don't know if it is.
You know what? The Ben Simmons loss, the defensive presence, I think that really hurts, Al. I think that really hurts. And I think that's what – no doubt, Embiid's a monster. He is the most – right now, the most unstoppable guy from a size and skill standpoint. Bart, I will give you that. Like, it's ridiculous. I mean, I've been covering the game for 50 years, around the game for 50 years, and you look at the size of these guys, he is one of those four or five cats that makes me look and say, dang, how could they put somebody on the earth looking like this, this big, this strong, this skilled? Because I have stood beside Shaq and Yao Ming and Kareem, and it's crazy to think that a guy that big has that kind of skill. But to your point, Al, I think they need to shore it up. You're right. The window's now. They got about 3-4 years, and they need to do something.
That's why my suggestion is they go get Dame Lillard, give up Maxey, and let James Harden walk, because he needs a on-time killer, a guy that wants to play and that's going to come in shape and compete.
Yeah, are you paying James Harden?
No. I'm letting him walk. I hope he opts out. I'm gonna trade Maxey and try. I'm trying to trade Maxey and get a deal, get Dame Lillard out of Portland.
I'll be watching for that one.
I'll tell you what. From a New York perspective,
if Rocky can beat Dragon,
the show is. Amazing show, fellas. Amazing show. Keep up the great work.
If Rocky can beat Drago, then anything's possible.
Great to hear from you. Paul Jones, again, voice of the Raptors. And I'll tell you what, if that Lillard trade to the Sixers happens, you know, everyone in New York will just, I mean, we'll that's it. We'll be done.
Well, you're getting Spider. You're good. You're getting Spider or Brunson.
Are you sure? If you promise it, that's another story.
Spider or Brunson.
You got to promise that because it's just, you know, as much as I would agree with you that on paper, that's if you're Philly, if you can do that, you do it. But if that happens, everyone in New York will just throw up. Like, really? Tried for years to get this guy. He would never leave Portland. Now he's going and he's going to Philly. Got to put up with that. By the way, as Paul said, Yao Ming is the only guy I remember covering in the NBA that when I stood next to him,
yeah,
I felt like a child.
He made Shaq look
like even
a child.
Shaq, because I got Shaq towards the end of his career, Shaq was enormous as a, you know, just a mountain of a human. Yeah. But even Shaq, like you just like, he's a big dude, you know. Like the first time I walked up to Yao Ming, my neck hurt from looking up.
Yeah, like, it's like evolution. Like it was raining up there on his scalp because he's up there in the Everglades.
Yo, it seriously, like, that's the one thing about when you talk about when you see all these different guys, seven-footers and stuff in the league, and then there's Yao, and you're like, yeah, there's...
Yeah, Yao had game. Like, Yao was tall, had game. George Muresan and all those dudes, they had game. Sean Bradley, they was okay.
Sean Bradley would have done better in today's NBA than he did in the 90s.
Yeah, he was
Sean Bradley was just came too early. He came around too early.
He's that dude
like
from Gonzaga.
I came around too late.
He's that dude from Gonzaga. Yeah, if you would have been back there, you would have gave Will some smoke because you just gave him some athleticism.
Let me tell you something.
You see, he could name nine people that was over 6'9" or 6'8". He didn't even attempt. He didn't even go with one. He didn't even get the one.
Rudy LaRusso. that's the guys you had back then.
Rudy the Rooster. Like, man, man. Ain't nobody ever heard this dude.
All right, we got your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN. We'll continue with those, of course. And also coming up, this will be fun. Sports truths we need revealed. Tom Brady, well, actually, it was Justin Bieber that started it. But Tom Brady brought us into something that I think we need to finish. We'll discuss. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. We've got your calls. We will get to them. Evan, yes, I saw your tweet. I know you're on hold. We will get to you, I promise. As a lot of people want to sound off and go at Bart Scott. But you know what? As we will continue certainly that and we get ready for NBA action tonight, as we had a day off in the NBA last night. But tonight, back to the playoffs we go. Heat and Sixers, 7 p.m. And then Suns-Mavs, 9:30 p.m. Both are game threes. Both have a 2-0 lead by the Heat and the Suns. Both games, of course, on ESPN as well. And then Saturday, of course, your doubleheader ABCs, as you have the Celtics and the Bucks, and then the Grizzlies and the Warriors. So back to the NBA playoffs after a night off. We did get some Stanley Cup playoff action last night, Bart Scott, and a Met comeback as well. And you know what else we got? We got some social media stuff. So Justin Bieber, I guess, has started something where you reveal some truth.
Yeah.
You know. And Tom Brady decided he was going to go to TikTok and follow up on what Bieber did and offer up his truth. I'm gonna speak the truth about something. And what he did was admit something that I think a lot of us already knew, but still, here's Tom Brady and his sports truth.
New trend alert. Tell me something honest.
Tuck rule game against the Raiders.
Might have been a fumble.
The tuck rule?
Yeah. The truth will set you free. It feels good. You know what I mean? Liberated. It's like people can't take stuff to their grave and they end up telling on themselves for crimes that they committed like early in their life because it just eats at them. This had to be eaten at time. It had to feel good to kind of admit what we already knew. That was a damn fumble. Tom Brady had never heard of the Tuck rule in his damn life.
Let me tell you something. If we're ever going to hear a truth, a tell me the truth, a Justin Bieber tell me the truth, I don't want to hear about the Tuck rule. I want to hear about... Did you order the code red? Did you ask the equipment guys to deflate those footballs?
Well,
did
we know
you
about
order the code red? You want to give me a truth? That's the truth, and I can handle that truth.
That
takes some balls. Like you do that now, I'm like, all right, that's some truth.
I want to see
you dared to say that.
I want to see the tapes and the angles on Spygate. I want to know, like, was somebody sitting there?
There's another one.
Like
okay.
Cobra,
Bill
like,
Belichick.
Cobra Khan. Was they like Cobra Khan? Were they like all four in camouflage? Like, you know, were they painted like the wall and they had like cameras? Like, what was exactly on the tape? Did they have the trick play? Did they have a trick play that they had devised? Like, what was on those tapes? The fact that they burned them, they didn't put them away, they didn't file them on the MP3. Where them tapes at?
So let's do it. So here's Justin Bieber saying, tell me the truth. And then you hear, we were spying on teams. Like you just have Bill Belichick doing that video, right? All right, so let's do a top five.
Yeah,
we just gave you two. We need three more. What other sports truths would we want to see someone admit? No? Nothing else?
Nah. Oh, I got plenty.
I got one.
What's that?
I know you discussed it on the Last Dance, but I need to know the truth. Why, Michael, did you really retire in 1993? You got another one?
Was it some debts? You know, I tell you what. I want to know, kind of to piggyback on that. I want to know, was he really sick from a pizza? What was he really doing? That pizza thing is like the weirdest. Like, he ordered a pizza.
The flu game?
Yeah. He ordered a pizza. He the only one who ate it. Who the hell ordered pizza with a room full of people and he eat?
And no one ate the pizza.
8 to 10 slices of pizza. He the only one that ate
it. Also in The Last Dance.
That's kind of iffy to me.
Now, a sports truth would be that I think some people would want to see, but we couldn't get it now, of course, unless Barstradamus was able to get the Ouija board and we were able to go into the great beyond.
Oh.
David Stern, was the envelope frozen?
Listen, we heard the great Vince Carter on his tremendous pod and streaming thing with Patrick Ewing. And Patrick Ewing, I think, knows the truth, too, because I think the person that's picked, they reveal, like, hey, man, you know, we got you. It was all.
Well, you know, one of the great urban legends about the lottery back in the day was the guy that everybody knew was going number one. They kind of asked them, like, all right, we've got two teams that are probably going to be at the top of the bat. Like, would you rather go here or here? Mm. Like, what would you prefer? Apparently, like that's an urban legend. Like, I there's no proof to that, but that's a lot of people had that one. Do you got anything else? You got any others? Like, if you could ask a person involved in it, you know, like how about this? The Kentucky Derby is this weekend, right?
Oh, the steroid.
Bob Baffert will not be there. He's been suspended
again.
Now, you know, Medina Spirit was that horse that won, and then unfortunately died, and then they found that there was. Some illegal substances in that horse. Bob Baffert, maybe he needs to do a little truth.
I wonder if they shoot the horse up like right before the race, like because the testing comes and they do it afterwards. But if it's something that can get out of the bloodstream really fast.
Yeah. Any sports truths that you'd want to hear revealed, like Tom Brady gave us the revelation that the Tuck rule might have been a fumble. All right, that's cute, but let's get some real ones. Who would you want to hear from and what? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
I got one more.
I'll go. Let's go.
Why did Tom really retire? Was he trying to go to Miami?
Ooh.
Does he hate Bruce Arians and him coming back? What's the ultimatum?
There's the sports truth. Tom Brady, were you on Stephen Ross's yacht when he requested you to come meet him there? Yeah, that's the one you'd want to hear, right?
That's the reason. Hot off the press.
So what ones do you have for this list? Let us know. At Barton Hahn, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We want you to tune into a National League battle tomorrow. Yes, we got some baseball. The Cubs host the Dodgers, presented by Progressive Insurance. Coverage begins at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Speaking of some truths, are the Browns sabotaging Baker Mayfield? Did they sabotage him at the end of last season? Somebody thinks so. We'll tell you who next. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. All right, so let's go to Charlotte where Steeler Nate says he's got something to say that he thinks will end this entire Embiid conversation. I got to hear this.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Thanks
what's
for taking
good?
My call.
You got it.
So check this out. I'm a UVA fan, and I've been around long enough to remember a guy called Ralph Sampson. Mm-hmm. Joel Embiid is a modern-day Ralph Sampson. Ralph Sampson dominated on both ends of the court, but you never know how great he could have been because he couldn't stay healthy. Now, let me say this. I like Joel Embiid. I like where he's trending, but the biggest question we have about him is not his talent, especially after this year. We don't know if he has the ability to remain healthy. Now,
yes,
if he can stay healthy going forward, then Bart, we'll bring your conversation back to the table. But until he can actually make it through a year without a major freak accident, because all his injuries are freak accidents. And I'll say this, too. You know how y'all talk about Babe Ruth and the curse? Yeah. Well, I'm just sensitive enough in basketball to know that I think Joel Embiid's injuries, these freak injuries, are due to the fact that he didn't have Ben's back. No matter if he agreed or not, he was too young and immature to have Ben's back. If he had had his back concerning Ben needing to mature through that whole ugly thing last year, we'd be having a different conversation, and that's something for y'all to think about going forward.
So you're saying that what goes around comes around. Okay. Thank you, Steeler Nate. We'll certainly keep that one in mind. I mean, look, he having his back is kind of ironic since the back injury is floored him. But let me grab another one here. Before you reply, Evan is in New York. He's been waiting a while. He's dying to get on the air. Evan, what do you got to say?
Hey, Alan.
Yes.
I just want to say thank you for reading my tweet and everything. What I'd like to say is this, and Bart, I'm going to be as respectful and as reasonable as possible with this whole argument, okay? Because the Artis Gilmore take and the Dirk thing, look, I'm not going to get into that. It just, that didn't amount to anything. What I will say is this, and this is in the case of
Evan, you got to say it quick because we only have about 20 seconds.
I got you. And we're not going to include three-point shooting. Offensively, I'm going to say that they're about equal. Okay. Defensively, though,
oh boy.
If you look at defensive.
Evan, stay on hold. We're going to go back to you, Evan. Stay on hold. We'll be back in 10 seconds.
Bart and Hahn.
Let's continue this conversation. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Before we get into sabotage in Cleveland, Evan in New York wanted to make a point about Joel Embiid. As we try to put a bow on that conversation before we get into what so many people now want to talk about, which is the sports truths they need after Tom Brady reveals that maybe the Tuck rule was a fumble. So, Evan, go ahead, take it away.
All right. I apologize. I'm a little long-winded today.
No worries. Just make it quick.
Yeah. Defensive win shares. Because I already said, we're going to take away the three-point shot. I believe if Hakeem was in today's league, he would figure it out, and he would be just as good a shooter as Joel Embiid. Defensive win shares, though, which is a stat that looks at how many wins a player would get based off defense. Hakeem Olajuwon for 4 years, 6.3, 7.8, 8.7. You look at Joel Embiid's, you're going to see 1.5, 3.8, 2.7, 3.2. It's right there. The stats are right there. I'm sorry, Bart, but if you look at both offense and defense, and the defense is so much more in Hakeem's favor, I'm going to have to go Hakeem over Joel Embiid.
That's fair.
Evan brought stats. Thank you for the call.
That's fair, but Hakeem's story is written. Joel is still being wrote.
Oh, now you're going to go there. You're going to go there that you could still be proven right. All right, let's leave that there because what we played at the bottom of this hour is Tom Brady and Justin Bieber. Like, Justin Bieber did this thing, tell me a truth. And Tom Brady decided, okay, I'll take the bait. And he went on TikTok and he basically said the tuck rule was actually a fumble. And I'm sure he's just having fun with it. But we were trying to think of, you know what? What are some real sports truths we'd love to hear? You know, like, what would it be? How about Tom just admitting that he did have the balls deflated, right? How about, you know, Michael Jordan telling us why he really retired in 1993, right? Some others we've gotten so far on social media are really good. And a lot of people have a truth about, they said they want to know, did OJ do it? And I'm saying, is that a sports truth?
Right. That's a, that another dude.
I don't know if that's a sports truth. But we've gotten some good ones also that ask this question. Did Franco Harris really catch the ball?
Ah,
immaculate reception or immaculate deception?
Mm.
Would Franco Harris ever say,
yeah, touch the ground. Yeah,
that ball touched the ground. Like, that's a really good one. That one I like. Do we have any others? Joe is in Long Island. Joe.
How you doing, boys? First time, long time. Big, big fan.
Thank you.
I was just wondering, you guys mentioned The Last Dance before. I really want to know what Scottie Pippen said to Jerry Krause on that bus ride home that apparently severed the relationship and pretty much got him out of Chicago. They mentioned it. They never went into it, though. They just said something was said. They never even got into any details. I think that's the truth, though. I would love to see that come out.
Wow. Okay, there's one. There's another one, though, that I think we all need to know. We all need to see this one. Anthony in Jersey has it. Anthony, I'm glad you brought this one up. Go.
How you guys doing? I want to hear from that little runt Altuve if he had a button when he hit that walk-off home run or any kind of device when he didn't rip his jersey off. I want to hear the truth on that, man.
That is brilliant. That is definitely on the list. If we're doing top five sports truths that we need somebody to hear, that's the one. That one right there. To me, that's what it's about. Now, how about this sports truth? At least it's one that might be. You see this story that sources close to Baker Mayfield feels like the Browns sabotaged him at the end of the season?
Come on,
tried to make him look bad so it would justify them moving on to a new quarterback?
That makes no sense. Nobody would have thought that Deshaun Watson would have been available for them. Outside of that, who were they even in who are they going for? Carson Wentz? Like, come on, stop it.
Now, how about the fact that Baker has no place to go right now? And he thought Seattle would be that landing place. And the day after the podcast was released that he said that, the Seahawks signed Geno Smith after already trading Russell Wilson and getting Drew Lock back. Listen to Pete Carroll talking about the potential of maybe trading for another quarterback.
I don't see us, you know, making a trade for anybody at all. I don't see that happening. But we're certainly going to continue to be open to the chances to help our club. And meanwhile, we're just going to be battling and competing our tails off. But that, you know, there's always possibilities. So we keep open to that.
So doesn't see us trading for a quarterback, but open to the possibility of improving the club. There's no seat right now for Baker Mayfield, man. But to put out there after all the negative stuff already, the way the league feels about you right now, and then to now have a story come out saying that you think that the Cleveland Browns sabotaged you, I know maybe it didn't come from you, but let's be honest. If it's a source, I can't imagine it's a source that's unrelated to Baker Mayfield.
We've seen not number one picks, but number two picks out of the league. RG3 is out of the league at 32 years old. He ran a 4.44.
Yeah, but that's because he got so beat up, though.
But he ran a 4.4. No. Nobody gave him a chance. He wasn't beat up when he went to the Ravens. The Ravens decided to go with Huntley and let him go. Mm-hmm. So he had time to heal up. If he can run a 4.4 two days ago at the draft, then he's physically fit enough to play football. But, you know, the league turned his back on him. You don't think he can still play? If we're talking about Colin Kaepernick coming back and playing at 34, RG3 is 32 years old. When the league has had enough of you and it's a certain narrative around you, you'll never get back in. They'll ice you out. And there's no seats for them. And if three great quarterbacks come in or highly touted quarterbacks come in next year, they're simply going to go and fill the holes up for the other places. So he's very close to being a backup for the rest of his life.
Look, the Browns are absolutely justified for making a trade for Deshaun Watson. They're justified mainly because it's a better quarterback. You upgraded your quarterback position. You didn't need to sabotage a player just to then make the trade and feel better about it. You got a better quarterback. Tampa had a good quarterback in Jameis Winston, but they got a better quarterback in Tom Brady. There's no reason to justify it at all. Updates on Joel Embiid. Will he play tonight? Should he? That's coming up next. It's Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Han, the podcast.